I'll let our guest speaker tell you where to turn, but if you're joining us today, we got a special guest speaker today just to kind of introduce him. Many of you guys know the Word of Oz. They have been fellowshipping with us during this last year. Many of you knew them before a while back. They were living in Cannon Beach and working there, and then also attending our church on Thursday nights. And basically, the Lord had kind of called them into ministry and serving him in Slovenia. So we've had them over the years kind of come when they come back for visits to share what the Lord's doing there. And they came back to take a much-needed kind of family sabbatical, like a break, which I think is important for any missionaries to do whenever they get a chance. And what I love about it is, like, they didn't come back just to sit and do nothing. Like, they knew it was important to come back and be plugged into a church, and they chose this fellowship to do that, and they have been such a blessing to us. Like, personally, I mean, they've been serving in so many ways. We were going through a transition in the youth ministry, and Sean came in. That's where the Lord's called him in Slovenia, him and his wife, and he came in to help as a part of that, and they've just been serving wherever needed. And so I wanted Sean to come up and share, because they're going to be going back here soon, basically just kind of the work the Lord's doing there, and kind of share the word with us. So we're going to have Sean Werdebach come on up here. You guys can give him a round of applause if you want.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have to say, like, the last couple months, we've been traveling around a lot, so we haven't been here for a couple months because we've been sharing in some of our other churches around the Northwest. But, yeah, I think I have it on. Isn't that on? It's on. You guys got it? Okay. So I'm probably the most nervous to share here, just because, you know, it's like in your own home church, it's like you feel the most pressure, I guess, than sharing other places. But it really is a special place to be. This is, of all of the options that we had when our leadership was saying, hey, you guys need to go back and take a sabbatical, get a break. We're like, where is our favorite church with our closest friends, and of all of the places we could go with family calling us to, where would we want to be most? And it was by far, both of us, hands down, were like, right here. This is where we wanted to be. This is the church we wanted to be a part of. And that's just a testimony to the fellowship that's here, the friendships, the deep, long friendships it's real here. And so thank you guys for that and for just welcoming us back, too, as we've been back for this time here. So I'm going to open us up in prayer quickly, and we will get into the word. So, Father God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we can be here together and really hear from you. And I pray that you would speak through me this morning as well. It would be your words, not mine. And as we share what you have been doing in Slovenia over these past few years, that all glory would be to you. And so we praise you for what you are doing and have done and are continuing to do, both here and around the world. So we thank you in Jesus' name, and we praise, amen. So we are going to be in Psalm 107 today. So everyone open up there, please. Psalm 107. And so, just to kind of intro this chapter, many of us have experienced different times in our life where we have gone through different stages, right? We're never at the same place doing the same thing. Our spiritual life is never in the same condition. We're constantly changing, going up and down. It's kind of the roller coaster. And something in this chapter that really keys into that, it shows four different examples of different ways where life goes up and down. And so we're going to go through these four different situations. The first three we'll go through a little quicker and focus more on the fourth one. But as you know, anytime God says something in the Word, it's important, right? And anytime he repeats himself a second time, we know we really need to listen up. And three times, like, man, he's like calling out loud and clear, you need to listen to this. Well, in this one chapter, he goes through this same example or the same cycle with four different examples, four different times, and explains it in different ways to where it can reach us not only to different points and different stages of our life, but in all kinds of different scenarios. So just want to get into it. So we're going to start in verse 1, and let's read together. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hands of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from the east and west, from the north and south." So pause there. So it starts out, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And that piece right there is also going to be repeated multiple times through this chapter, and you'll see that as well. There's a bunch of repetition in here, but it's different each time. There's a little different angle to it. But it starts out because that's the most important, so that through all of these situations, through all the circumstances of life, it's so important that we are giving thanks to the Lord and recognizing that He is good, even in the hard times, even in the troubles, and in the great times, we need to praise Him for those as well. His love endures forever through all things, and He is the one that has called us. It says here that He called us from the east and the west and the north and the south. He's gathered us together. He is the one that's redeemed us from the hand of the foe. And so as we get through this now, we're going to start in verse 4 with the first example. And here it says, some wandered in the desert, wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. I'll pause there. So this first example is the wandering in the desert, in the wastelands, just feeling lost. And many of us have also had those times where we just feel dry. We just feel like spiritually lost, spiritually, emotionally, in every part of life, you just feel dry and lost and hopeless. And we're hungry and thirsty and just wasting away, but we don't even see any hope of salvation. And as it repeats multiple times through this chapter, we'll see the answer is the same. In verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. And He led them by a straight way. And then in verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So as we see this theme repeating, we see we're wandering in the desert, we're lost, we're hopeless, and we cry out to the Lord, and He delivers us, and we give thanks. You're going to see this pattern multiple times through this chapter. So now we're going to go on to the next example in verse 10. And here it says, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Pause there. So here we have people that are sitting in darkness, people that are in their deep gloom, and prisoners suffering in iron chains. And many times through Scripture, we see the example of darkness, and we see the example of chains. And what do those often, what do they often symbolize? Sin. And what often binds us is our sin. And to the point of chains, if you're chained down by your sin, that's to the next level. That's come to the point of, in some situations, addiction. A lot of times we're addicted to our sin, whether that's by choice or not. We started it, and we can get so bound and chained up by our sin that we can't free ourselves. We're not expected to. And so whatever that is, whatever the deep darkness that you are could be experiencing now, and remember, each of us in this room will have most likely been through every one of these four examples at some point, if not multiple at some point at a time. Some of us might be able to say, yeah, I'm in this one, and this one. Not that one, though, praise God. But really, like, find this place. Let's not think of somebody else this morning, but really be checking our hearts. Because it's easy, oh, yeah, that person, they're addicted. Yep, they're in sin. I can see that. That's really easy to do, right? We can always think of somebody else. But let's turn our eyes on ourselves this morning and be checking our own hearts in this. So what is that chain of sin that is really binding you this morning? It says, for they had rebelled against the words of God. It's all in here. We know what's right and wrong. God's given us the Holy Spirit as a conscience to convict us of sin. And if we're not sure about something, it's pretty clear in here. And so, but we often, in our own rebellion, we rebel against God's word and despise the counsel of the Most High. And so then, moving on, in verse 13, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Did it say He gave them the power and they broke away from their chains? No, He did it. We can't do it. You know, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, right? And what that means is we say, God, deliver us from these chains because I don't have the strength to do this. And God wants to. We know, like, obviously we can say, yeah, of course God doesn't want us to be chained and bound in sin. But we often don't give him the permission to free us. And that's all he's saying is, cry out to the Lord and he will break the chains. And it says, after he breaks those chains and frees us, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the iron bars. And, okay, so that's that one. He does it. He is the one that breaks down the gates. He's the one that cuts through the iron and frees us. So now it comes to our third example in verse 17. Here we have, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered the affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Pause there. So here we have those that have become fools through their own rebellion and suffering the affliction for that. We have all suffered the consequences of our own foolishness at times, right? And oftentimes it's easy to say, oh yeah, like, we all go through that phase or something, or teenagers go through that phase often. We can put it on them, like, we've all had those, many of us have experienced some of those crazy teen years, or we have had friends that have experienced it, or maybe we have some kids that are doing it right now. But again, we're not looking at them, we're looking at ourselves right now, and it's easy to say, well, oh yeah, those other people, they're really foolish, and they're getting their consequences for that. But we as well, at any stage of our life, whether we're teens or middle-aged or senior citizens, we can all be foolish at times. We can all, in our own foolishness and rebellion, knowing what God calls for us, be like, ah, I know, but I kind of like this thing. I want to do this. I want to go this way. I think I've got this one under control. And we want to go our own way. But it's through our foolishness and our rebellion that we suffer affliction. And I often, like, a lot of times people will say, oh, God is just this big hammer in the sky that just wants to come and pound us every time we do something wrong. And then anytime something bad happens in our life, oh, why did God do that to me? But I like a different picture. And it's more when we are walking with God, he has his hands of protection around us. And he's guarding us and protecting us and leading our way. But when we rebel against him and say, I got this, God, he's like, okay. And he takes his hands off. And that's when the bad things happen to us. It's not him coming bringing the hammer down. It's him taking his hand of protection away and releasing us to our own consequences, our own actions. And so we need to be careful as well on that we don't blame God or get angry at God when something bad happens to us. We need to check our heart and say, why did that happen? Is there something going on in me? Am I rebelling against God and rejecting his leadership in some way to where he is taking his hands off and letting me do it on my own and suffer my own consequences? Because we've all experienced that as well. But the answer is always the same. In verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So remember I said each example is a little different, has a little more to it. This is the only one where it has this piece of it. It says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. That tell of his works part, when God does free you and he does something in your life, it's not just for you. It's not to keep to yourself. Those are the parts that you share. It's like, yeah, God says, come into your prayer closet and have your time with me and keep that personal and come and don't be open and all of that stuff, not everything. But in this part, when God does a miracle in your life and God frees you from something, maybe you had some addictive sin or whatever it was, and God frees you from that, we need to not be too proud to tell those around us of what we were doing because God has freed us from that, right? And there are often so many other people in our lives, in our daily life, that are still trapped, still stuck, and still chained, and they don't have the hope. They don't know what to do. And if you can say, hey, guess what? I was just in this recently, and God freed me from this. God broke the chains, and this is what God did in my life. Whether they acknowledge God or not, they can't deny what he's done in your life. And if they see it enough times, they're going to say, maybe there's something to this, God. And that's on us. That's on our part to be faithful, to tell of his songs, tell of his works with songs of joy. And it's the other cool part of this is it's not like we're coming down and preaching the Bible and saying, you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. We're not doing that. We're just saying, hey, I'm a broken, dirty person, and I need Jesus. And you don't have to preach it at them, saying, you know, you're a broken person, you need Jesus. We just say, this is what I am like, this is how I've struggled, and this is what God's done in my life. And people usually are interested to hear you talk about your dirty rags, right? They're not going to, if you say, oh man, you want to know what I got into? I got some dirty trouble this last weekend. They're going to be like, yeah, tell me all about it, right? They're not going to say, oh, I don't want to hear that. That's nothing for me. So they want to hear it. So tell them about it, and then tell them how God rescued from it. Okay, so moving on. So in 23, we get to the fourth example, and this is the one we're going to spend a little more trouble, or a little more time in, getting out of our trouble. So here we have, in verse 23, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. We'll pause there. We know what happens next, but we'll pause first. So here we have those that went out, and this is the one of these four examples, and I've been through all of them, of course, but in this last season, as we were in Slovenia before coming here, this is where I felt I was deepest in. And we had gone across the seas. We were out and had experienced mighty things that God had been doing. God doing big, crazy, powerful, amazing things. And I'll share some of those with you in a little bit. But in that, we're there and we're seeing the mighty things that God is doing. We saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest and lifted high the waves. And let me tell you, in other parts of the world, if you haven't traveled much to these other some other places, the spiritual world is active in different ways in every country. In America, those that have traveled would attest that it's a little more subtle. It's a little more keep people comfortable and happy and financially stable until the rug pulls out from under them. But like for the most part, it's kind of like this keep you comfortable in the States. But in other places, for example, Slovenia, it's messy spiritual warfare. It's dark, it's active, you see stuff, you experience stuff that you don't see in the States too often, unless you're really looking for it. And we've been in that, and in that, it reminded me of the example of the second person to walk on water, which was Peter. And he did walk on water for a little bit, right? As long as his eyes were on Jesus. Until he got distracted by the storm and the waves and everything going on around him. And then he started to sink. And it's in that where, as I personally, over this time in Slovenia, I have my eyes off on Jesus, and then stuff's going on around me. I'm like, okay, I see all this, but I'm on you, Jesus. But it's this gradual sinking and getting a little lower. It's like, storm, storm, okay, Jesus. Storm, storm, Jesus. And you just keep going less and down more and more until you see less of Jesus and more of the things going on around you. And that's kind of where I was at. And to the point where I reeled and staggered like a drunken man and at my wit's end. And the thing is, I didn't even realize it. I, being the kind of personality that I am, will continue to take on a lot, and I'm kind of a perfectionist and like to make sure everything's running right in the ministry. And so I kind of have my hands in a lot of different aspects of our ministry. And over the course of 6.5 years, you continue to get more and more responsibilities and things, and you're like, yes, yes, I can do this, I can do that. And I was becoming more self-reliant and less God-reliant. And yeah, I'd have my time with Jesus every day, and I would give it to him, and I'd say, God, help me as I prepare to teach this week. But in a lot of the daily runnings of ministry and planning and stuff like that, after a while, you kind of go into autopilot. And many of you have had a certain job maybe for many years. And you know how after you've had a job for a few years, you don't have to think about it anymore? You kind of go into autopilot and you just do your job. You're plugging away. You don't even have to think. Your hands are just working quickly and your mind is plugging away. And you don't really have to process everything you're doing, every little step. And so it's the same in ministry. Like as we've been there, we kind of started shifting a little more into autopilot and less on Jesus as the pilot. And so in that, and in our lost state, in going down, it says, so then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, verse 28, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly and of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And that's what I'm doing right now, is exalting him in the assembly right here. This is our assembly. This is our fellowship. And I can tell you now that, like, I was on the verge of burnout, and I could see, like, my threshold gradually diminishing. But I had seen other coworkers, other missionaries go through burnout. I was like, that's not going to happen to me. So I was really watching it really careful. But I wasn't really fully coming and asking God to help me from it. I was like, okay, I got this. Okay, this is all I can do. But my threshold was slowly going down. And maybe some of you experience that. And maybe right now you feel like your threshold of what you're capable of is gradually diminishing. You're overwhelmed with work, with kids and family and sports and everything else going on in life. And your threshold just keeps dropping and dropping. Well, that's because you can't do it all on your own. I couldn't do it all on my own. And your threshold will drop. You are not capable of everything. And so recognizing that and calling God on for help, he's the one that's going to deliver us from that. I have some little artwork that I wanted to share here that Christina came up. After hearing this sermon a couple times, she's like, I have this idea of how to put it on paper and get a visual. So she's great at that. So this is us when we are walking with Jesus, okay? Everything's great. Everything's fine and dandy. And then we just kind of start wandering and just going our way. Everything's going all right. Still fine. But then eventually things start to get a little difficult. And we're like, oh, and then we start running a little harder, running faster. And, let's change slide again. And so then we're running hard, and we're starting to burn out. And then next, then we get down to the storm, and then things really start to get crazy. But we haven't called out to Jesus yet, because we still got this. Like, yeah, it's crazy. It's going all over the place, but I got this under control. That guy does not have anything under control. His umbrella's broken. He's getting almost hit by lightning. And he is not under control. He is going down. And then to the next one, to the point that we are drowning, and it's not often until the water's up to here that we actually cry out for help, right? Why do we wait to that point to call out to Jesus for help? And if you see in all of these examples that we've read, it's when they're in their deepest, darkest gloom and hopeless and lost and staggering, and then they cried out to Jesus. We don't have to wait to that point to cry out to Jesus. We can cry out to Jesus every day and say, Jesus, I am broken and lost, and I need your help today. Every day. We don't have to wait to that point. Because when we do cry out for help, it restores us back to the top. And then the next, we can thank God. So when he restores us, then we thank God, we praise God, and hallelujah. And so as you guys go, please read this a few times, this chapter. Maybe this week, read it every day this week. Because every time I read through it, more and more has stood out. And you know how God's word does that, right? So I challenge you guys to read this a few times this week and see where God's calling out for things in you. And so you can go blank. Okay. So then moving on, we have in verse 33 now. It says, he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground and fruitful land into the salt waste. Why? Because of the wickedness of those who lived there. There are times where maybe you're doing really well, business as well, you're just comfortable and life is going well and you're financially stable and everybody in your household is happy and your marriage is great. And you just kind of start drifting. It's like, yeah, everything's good. It's all under control. And at those times, sometimes he turns the river into desert and those flowing springs into thirsty ground and fruitful land into salt waste. Why? Because of our wickedness. Because we are not following him, and we're starting to take credit. Like, look at what I got going on. My business is going so well. My marriage is so great. My kids are so perfect. And then we start taking pride in that, and God's like, actually, let me stir things up a little bit. Let me dry things up and let you realize that you are not so perfect, and it's only by my blessing that anything goes well. And so he does that at times. But then in 35, it says, then he turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle, and they sowed fields and planted vineyards that yield a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. And it goes on from there. That's where we're going to stop in that passage. But there's a on the next slide. I saw this in the Daily Bread back in August 2nd when we were kind of just getting ready to realize that we needed to come out here for this time. And it's really stood out to me. It says, because the kind of storm that transforms a desert into an oasis isn't a gentle shower, it's a downpour, flooding every crack of parched ground with new life. There are times in our life where we're so dry that a little sprinkling of God is not going to do it. A little 15-minute devotional time in the morning is not going to do it. There are times where we are so dry and so lost that we need a flooding downpour to bring us back to life. Because if you have a desert and maybe you give it one good downpour even, what's going to happen? You might spring up some new life. But if it doesn't keep raining, it's all going to dry up again really quickly, right? And so it's not like, you can see this through the week where we come on Sunday and we get this flood on Sundays and then we dry out through the week. And we do that if we're not getting in this every day. It's so important that we are being watered daily. And even in my situation in Slovenia, I was pouring out and doing so much and just like giving and giving and giving. And I had my morning time most days. It was gradually getting pushed down shorter and shorter, 15, 20 minutes, read a chapter or two, go through my prayer list real quick. But it was not enough to sustain me. Not in that time. When you're in deep spiritual warfare, when you're in whatever stage of life, there are times you need to recognize your little 15-minute devo is not going to be enough. And why is that? Because you are going through a lot. And you need fed, you need watered, your spirit needs fellowship. That's why we're here as well, is we need the fellowship. When we come into church, how often do we come and when we shake and greet, we're like, oh, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great. Great. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, not so great. Oh, that's too bad. And we keep on going, and it's like, we don't really get into it. Like, if someone says they're great, then say, really, why? What's God done? This, and then if somebody is not doing well, say, really, what's wrong? How can I pray for you? Like, that's the purpose of our fellowship. One of the purposes is, yeah, it's easier just to not get into it, and it's kind of difficult to really get into it in that little 3-minute meet and greet. But we have, say, hey, I'm really having a hard time. Can we, like, get together sometime this week? Maybe we talk more afterwards instead of jet for the car and get home for lunch or the game? Like, how about we actually hang out for a little bit? And through the week, like, this shouldn't be the only time that we see each other. We don't expect you to see everybody. That's impossible. But it's really important that you find some in the church that you really get closer to and you see on a more regular basis through the week, that you guys can be encouraging each other, building each other up, praying for each other when needed. And that's, otherwise, why are we here? Just to get filled on Sundays? So, So for me, when we came back, it wasn't until January when we were doing the Bible read-through when I really started spending mass chunks of time in the Word, hours a day, and I was like, I'm going to bust this Bible read-through in 3 months. That was my start. It's not happening like that. But I started out on that track. I was like, I have the time right now, so I'm just going to bust it out. But it wasn't until like the third week of January of spending hours a day in the Word, and after that week of fasting and really being focused on that, that I felt like my spiritual life kind of like, whew, I'm alive again. Like, it took a while to come back to life. So even in that downpour, I was flooded. I was here, and the fellowship was great. But it took hours a day in the Word for me, personally, in that moment, to come back to life. And some of you that have been with me more closely in this last 8 months probably will have recognized the difference from pre-January to post-January. But, so that's a lot. But if we go to the last chapter the last verse of chapter 107, 43, it says, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. It would be foolish not to pay attention to this, not to check ourselves and see what's going on. Because whoever is wise, let him heed these words and consider the great love. It's not consider the impending doom of God, of what's happening. It's consider the great love of the Lord and how he wants to free us and deliver us. So with our remaining time, I want to go through what God has been doing and the mighty works that God's been doing in Slovenia and share some of that. So we'll pop through some slides a little bit. So next, we have been in Kočevje, Slovenia. So next slide. For the last 6.5 years. And right there down in red, this is the picture in our town where we have, oh, sorry, next slide. So this is a picture in our town, an old Catholic church in the river. It's a very beautiful green place, but I like this picture because it shows the clouds, the dark looming clouds over the top. Like, it's a beautiful place, but there is a heavy spiritual darkness over it. Just to kind of give some, put it in perspective, they come from a very corrupt socialist background from post-communism stuff, and it's still very corrupt. They're very spiritually dark, depressed, hopeless. When we moved to Slovenia, the country had the sixth highest suicide rate in the world. And in our town of Kočevje, where we've been, had one of the highest suicide rates in the whole country. So just our town was one of the darkest places. Even people, other Slovenes would say, Kočevje is the town behind God's back. It's the black hole of Slovenia. But that's much less today. It's up to like the 20s or 30s on the list now. So it's much changed. So praise God for that. Another thing, when we moved to Slovenia, there were only 900 believers in the whole country. Out of the 2 million people plus there are only 900 believers. That's less than 0.5%. Now it's doubled today. There are about 1,800 professing evangelical Christians. Next slide. So now we have almost 1%. Praise God, okay? Praise God for the doubled fruit, but we're praying for more. Get into double digits sometime soon, right? So next slide. The way that we do this is the vision of our mission organization with Josiah Venture, what we do, it's a movement of God among the youth of Central and Eastern Europe that finds its home in the local church and transforms society. So we get the youth, we equip young leaders in our community and build into them and disciple them and mentor them to be the next leaders. And we do it all through the local church. We're not like a separate mission organization that's just there to like raise and disciple them on our own. It's got to be done through the local church, through the community. And even in that, we've seen youth bring their parents to church and them get saved. And it's a full community thing. So through that, next slide, we have Christina doing children's church. She's been the children's ministry director since we've been there. Next, we have us in the schools. And we have the open doors in there to be sharing about inviting kids into our camps and youth groups. Next, we have camp. And we load them all on buses and bring them to our English adventure camps that we do. And that's where they first hear the gospel. We get to know them in school, invite them to camp and youth group, they hear the gospel, and then next, after that, we get to meet their parents, because then after camp, we do a kind of a gather thing and do a presentation to the parents and connect the families with people from our church. And from there, we follow up with these kids. In the next slide, we gather up with these kids and continue to build that relationship. And then next, we take them to different ministry leadership retreats. So some of these, if you look carefully, you will see Charity and Sarah in there. So Charity Manning there and Sarah up on the rail. Sarah Miller. They came to Slovenia and last summer, and they were with us as we did more of a discipleship retreat. These other young people are the Slovene nationals that we have been pouring into and building up to, and they are the next leaders. And next, we get them together and we teach the word and we eat together. And the next slide. And then something that's really cool, even in this place, if you go back 2 slides, this place, we had planned on this youth retreat down in Croatia and we're trying to work on a tight budget. So we rented these 3 little apartments near the beach. And that's what we were going to do for a week and be down there and really pour into these youth. And we showed up after driving about 6 hours south. And 2 of our 3 units that we had already paid for were full. We're like, okay, now what do? We've got like 2 vans full of people, and 2 of our paid and reserved places are taken. And so I got on the phone with the guy, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. We must have double booked. We work it through multiple booking agencies. And so I was like, well, we've paid you, and we're here, and we need somewhere to stay tonight and for the rest of this week. He's like, well, I'll see what I can do. And so he calls around his buddies. And just about 100 yards up the beach, deeper into this private cove, is a 4-star villa. And this was the only other place available because everything gets totally booked out throughout the summer, like half a year in advance. And so the only other thing available was this big 4-star villa. And they said, I think you'll be okay with the option, with the alternative, but we won't charge you any extra. But if you're okay with it, we have this nice big villa for you instead. And God provided this for us. The price was like four times as much. We never could have afforded it. And these are like poor Slovene kids, and they're like, oh, they're like Instagramming everything, and look at all of this, like walking around this like multi-million dollar like beach villa. And it's just like a thing where God does good gifts. God gives good gifts to his children. And it was just a really special time, so I wanted to share that with you guys. Go down a few slides. There we go. So these are some of these youth, and they're leading worship now at our church retreat. Next, here's a picture of our church, and this is where we plug them into. We invite them and their families to our church. And then next, we have a church plant now in another community an hour away, because people, the churches are no closer than hours in distance. There aren't a lot of options. You have to drive another hour and a half to see another church. And so we planted another church in a community there. Next, God is also doing big things where he's getting us out there, and he's giving us opportunities to share the gospel. And even in this, God gives us opportunities to be in the local newspaper, because there were the only Americans in town. So they're like, why are you here? What are you doing? And what are we there for? To share the gospel. And we explained to them, well, this is what we believe, and this is why we're here. So we shared the gospel in this interview, and it went in the newspaper, and went on every doorstep in our community. And then a lady that had been tutoring Zach for school early on, for language and stuff, she worked at the radio. And we invited her to church multiple times. Finally, she came to church. She accepted Jesus. Her husband accepted Jesus. They got baptized. And she said, hey, would you guys like to invite people on the public radio to come to your English camps and youth groups and stuff? Of course, why not, right? So then now our whole community got to hear us on the radio, what we're doing. And next slide, even bigger, then we got to go on national TV, like the main news station of Slovenia, Slovenia 1. They heard about what was going on. They wanted to do a story on our mission organization in Slovenia, because it's become quite a presence. And they chose our camp, of all the camps, to come and interview and do the story on. And so they interviewed me and asked me, why are you here? What are you doing? And so I shared the gospel on national television. And so the whole country got to hear, everybody that was interested watching the news that night got to hear about these Americans that are here and hear the gospel. So, and then after that, next, we got to meet the president. Like, where does this end, right? So the president was in our town for a dedication of some memorial and saw our kids and called them over to him to talk and then realized they weren't Slovenes. So then he's talking to our kids and then he signals me over, so I come up, and he said, so who are you, and why are you here? So he didn't get the full gospel from me, but he did hear why we're there and about sharing Jesus with the youth of the nation and raising them up to be the next generation of good moral leaders. And he's like, we definitely need that. Thank you. So so that was just an awesome open door. And then, next slide, if you guys recognize this guy, it's Nick Vujicic. He's come to Slovenia a couple times now. And he got to meet with the president. And Nick Vujicic got to share with the president about what's going on. And he shared the gospel with the president in the president's private office. So this is kind of funny. It's just him and the president. Well, and then the Secret Service and all them. And the president dismissed everybody else from the room, kicked out all the Secret Service, and just had a one-on-one with Nick. I don't think he was afraid of Nick jumping him or anything like that. So... But he let everybody else out, and he had a one-on-one with Nick in his presidential office, and Nick shared the gospel with him and prayed with him, and the president thanked him and said, you don't even know this, but this is the first time there's ever been prayer in the presidential office of Slovenia. So God is doing huge things. And then even after this, the president's like, I want to support what you guys are doing personally. Not like government stuff, but like out of his pocket. He's like, I want to be your biggest private sponsor for your upcoming event, which was this. And this is Nick Vujicic in front of this big auditorium in Slovenia and being televised on national television. And not only that, it was televised in the public schools. So during school, all the kids had to watch it. And so it's just huge, huge things that God is doing. This is way beyond us. You see a lot of the little yellow shirts? We know most of them personally, because those are our fellow missionaries and Slovene leaders that were helping organize and put this event on. So this is no credit to us. This is God doing big, huge things beyond us. We couldn't get ourselves in the paper and on the national news and meet the president and all that. That's way beyond us. But next slide, just kind of to wrap it up then, how can you all be a part of this, and how can you be praying for us? Is as we've been doing this, the other piece is we've been, as we've said, trying to build up this next generation of leaders to take over the ministry, right? God knew that for them to really take it, he needed to pull us out for a longer chunk of time. And that's part another of many reasons why we're here right now, is so that he could take us out of the way so they could really step up and take it. And they have done that, which is, praise God, amazing that these youth are now running the youth ministry. Some of them preach. They're leading worship. And these are the youth that were, like, one of them was, like, a total druggy gangster, like, sleeping around, like, a few years back when we got there. These are rough kids, and they are now leaders and Christians in this country and in this community. And so that means that our ministry changes. And knowing this all along, that this is the goal, it's kind of like, okay, now what? So we ask that you guys pray for us and our leadership as well for clear ministry direction from God as we re-enter Slovenia after 11 months out. So, and then the next prayer is for the 99 lost sheep in Slovenia. There's not one lost, there's 99 plus lost. There's over 99% of people in Slovenia are lost, very lost, and don't even have a church within an hour of them, and wouldn't even know of it because it's so small. So pray for the lost sheep of Slovenia. Next, wisdom and parenting as we enter the teen years. We've got one teenager now and two more this summer or soon, and it's if you've had teenagers or been a teenager, you know how that is. So please pray for us. It's a very dark and difficult country with a lot of evil, and it's all out to get everybody, especially the youngest and the weakest. And so please pray for the protection of our kids and our wisdom in parenting them. And last is for new partners to join us on the prayer team and financial support team. We can't be there, and we can't survive without prayer, and we can't live without the finance. As you all know, you all have to have a job, right? This is our job. And we have a table set out there with some special Slovene chocolate that we brought. Very natural, good chocolate. Fancy stuff. So go get one of those and sign up on our prayer list. If you're not, we won't flood your inbox every week. Don't worry. You'll only get one every month or two. But we have prayer cards out there and support slips. And we really need prayer. Above all, we need prayer. A lot of it. Slovenia needs prayer. And we are short on finance right now as well. And so if we ask that you take it to God, we don't want you to give if God's not telling you to. So just ask him, please, if that's something he wants you to be a part of, the monthly support for keeping us and the growing ministry going. So that was a lot. But thank you, guys. It's really a blessing and honor to be here. And we love you all and are going to cry when we leave. So
we're going to have the rest of his family. Hey, boys, you can come up too. And that was pretty epic, right? It's just awesome hearing what the Lord's doing. It was a great word too. So I want you guys just to kind of join me and pray for these guys as they're going to be leaving here. When is it? June 15th, right?
July 15th, we have to be back in Slovenia by. Okay. But we'll be out of this area probably third week of June to go visit her family in Colorado before we go.
Okay. So first, if you haven't gotten to hang out with these guys, they're awesome. We got to know them when they used to live here, and the Lord just kind of knitted our hearts. So we've been friends with them for a long time. But I encourage you guys, invite them over, hang out with them, get coffee with them, because they are awesome before they leave. But then secondly, make sure you go back there and get on their email list. If you have any questions or anything, you know, like how you can pray for them stuff, talk to them before. But let's pray with them right now before we close. Dear Lord, I just lift up this family that's been such a blessing to us personally for so many years, Lord. And I thank you for the time you've given us with them over this last year, Lord. And just thank you for that awesome testimony from your word that Sean gave, just how you're so faithful because of your great love for us, as it repeats over and over again, that when we call out to you, whether it's from just, you know, dryness, Lord, because of a lack of time with you, or even just kind of the depths of our own affliction that we bring upon ourselves, you nonetheless are always faithful to deliver us and pull us out of it. And Lord, I pray that maybe that's even a word for people today, Lord. We don't want to wait till the water's almost over our heads. We want to be quick to call out to you and look for you to help us. And I thank you for answering the prayer in their lives and just bringing them back for the season of refreshment and encouragement. And I thank you even in that, just their desire to be obedient and willing and used by you in such a mighty way while they've been here as a part of our family. And Lord, I pray that as they go, those things Sean was praying for, this new season going back, Lord, that can always be kind of scary and overwhelming, just wondering what you're going to do. But we're thankful that we don't have to figure everything else out, Lord. You've opened this door for them to go back, and so you've certainly got work for them to do. And we just pray you lead them in it, Lord. You'd open those doors that no man can open and shut and lead them. And you give them unity as a husband and wife. They'd see your hand in all everything that you're, the path you're laying before them, and they'd just be faithful to follow you, Jesus. Not forgetting their first love, keeping you at the center of everything, Lord, and then just serving out of that overflow of everything you're pouring into them, Lord. We also pray, Lord, for the 99. Just thank you for the good report that you've doubled the amount of people that know you, Lord. That's huge. Yeah. Even if the number, like, is small by our standards, that's huge, Lord. And so we pray you'd keep doubling it, Lord, mm-hmm. that you would just, you're, thank you for all the open doors for your gospel to get out. And we pray that you continue to open them. Use these guys and use the other people there that know you just to be a bright light in that darkness. Because we know, Lord, whether the people know it or not, that they need you just like we yeah. do, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I pray for just a massive revival in that place. Mm-hmm. And you continue to get all the glory just like yeah. mm-hmm. you are, Father. And we pray, Lord, just for wisdom as a family with teenagers. Understand that. Most of us do. And I pray their kids would just love you, Lord, and live for you all of their days. They'd see that you are what they need above all else, and give their parents just wisdom in training them up in your ways and unity in that. And we also just pray, Lord, that, Lord, you're the God that has no limit on resources. So whatever financial stuff they need, we pray you provide it, Lord. And if there's ways you want us to come alongside them, whether it's just praying or financially supporting or even going over there, Lord, you've provided opportunities for people from our church to do that and practically support them through serving. Lord, just stir us up in our hearts, and may we be faithful in following as you lead us in these things. So we thank you for the encouragement we received from Sean today and his family while they've been here, and we pray that you'd just kind of send them off here in this last month just ready to go for whatever it is you have for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.